Live from my spare room in Sacramento, this is Paintball Ruined My Life Live with Brad Johnson. Tonight, an NXL Tampa Bay Open recap. Results, iconic award winners, rules, and how was that stadium experience? Hello, gentlemen. Pour my coffee right there. We go. Whoo! Hello, evening. Sure, why not? Hello, evening. We are here, and thank you, gentlemen, for joining us early. Boosted, I see it right there. I already read your comment. Or is that a comment? Input into chat. Definitely. It was a pleasure. It was fun meeting you, for sure. I got to meet quite a few people. Not the Mile High Club, but the... I did go in a cool bathroom. I don't know. We'll talk about that later. but as you can tell, likely by the title of this, we're going to talk about Tampa. And that's really all we're talking about. This was a little bit different this time around, though, obviously... Maybe not obviously, but I did go. So I was there for two whole days, really one day of tournament. So it's a little bit different. You know, normally I watch the entire tournament and then come back with a bunch of highlights. I didn't watch the entire tournament because I just wasn't here to watch the tournament. So we don't have tons of highlights. I have a few. And then we'll recap tournament winners. We have the iconic awards we'll talk about. How the new rules shook out. The new getting rid of margin to dictate placement in the finals or quarterfinals or to move on to the playoffs, and how my overall stadium experience went. I took a shitload of video and haven't even looked through all the video, so we're going to look through a bunch of different pictures I took from my phone and real camera. My objective was not pictures, though, so there's not, like, a ton of pictures. I think I have, like, 200. I was going to say there's not a ton, but I think I have, like, 200 loaded up in here, and that's everything I took. So not a ton of pictures, but I think we can get an idea of what it looks like and kind of just how it feels, and, you know, I'll explain pictures and all that stuff. But we might as well just jump into... Who actually won? I was just thinking about which order to do that. Who actually won? Let's go to Tampa recap. I think that's that right there. So if you guys did miss in the Pro Division for five-man, Red Legion did win with some very, very standout player or some very standout play. I want to open my results. Some very standout play from a brand new Red Legion player, Russian Legion, Orlando Red Legion player, Thomas Hara, just played like crazy, man. Like, looked just as good as Brydnikov or any of those like super elite snake side players. Kind of reminded me a lot of the way Axel and Hugo play. He just played exceptionally well. Not something I don't think we've seen. I was thinking about this and I'm like, man, I don't know of a rookie player recently, at least in the last 10 or something years, that's come in to Pro Paintball and played this well. So he played extremely well and should be very proud of himself. Helped his team beat Edmonton Impact. Impact taking second place. Paintball Fit played like lights out. Actually, absolutely clobbered everybody in the prelims, but only managing to take third place. Still exceptionally well. But maybe not to their, like, want-to-win-every-single-tournament standard. But I'd be proud of that. Serial Killers? Nope. I always say Serial Killers when I see CK. Contract Killer Hurricanes also exceptionally well, getting fourth place, followed by San Antonio X-Factor. Detroit Infamous doing really well, getting in sixth place. Damage finishing a little lower than as also kind of what they're wanting to, and especially in their hometown. Getting 7th place. Dynasty in 8th. They had a big roster shakeup and a lot of new guys coming in. Getting 8th place, not terrible, but also probably not up to their wanting to win every single tournament. In the 3v3, we had two divisions. We had the two conferences. We'll say the West Coast Conference and the Eastern Conference. Or the, we'll not say West Coast. We'll say the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference. X-Factor won the West, followed by Detroit Infamous in second place. Tampa Bay Damage winning at home, at least for the three-man, followed by that Orlando Red Legion. More winners. We'll just kind of read out the top, I don't know, first places from this. We won't go all the way through them. Maybe a little bit. We'll talk about some of the teams. In semi-pro, Blast Camp getting that first place win. And in kind of dramatic fashion as well. I mean, we saw Blast Camp, an Oregon iconic Thomas Taylor's team. He's leading up, play in the finals. And there was like 8 seconds left. It was 3-4, I believe, or 3-3, I believe. Thomas ran up the center and managed to get a penalty, giving Blast Camp that last point and helping them win the semi-pro division. The Reject taking third, also very good. They're a brand new semi-pro team and did really well last year in Division 2, but this is their second or first tournament and first year in semi-pro. In the WNXL, we have the Heroines taking first place, which, maybe obviously it's a surprise. Not a surprise, I shouldn't say, but I was going to say obviously they won, but me, not obvious. You know, there's other good teams out there that could win. But the Heroines did win that title last year, so they're probably going to be the favorite again this year to win the title. We had Dallas Vibe in the WNXL 3v3 X-Ball winning. Division 2, we have the Gulf Coast Ragtag Army getting first place, and the Legacy Gorillas taking first place in Division 3. The Legacy Gorillas actually won the Aruba Open that happened a few months ago. Fourth place, we have the Hydra Kids. Hydra Kids have won a bunch of young stuff as well. Last year, they won quite a few of those youth leagues or youth divisions in the NXL. We have two more of these slides. In the Hall of Icons, we have, I also made myself notes so I can talk a little bit about these guys. We have Chuck Hench. A lot of these guys, really everyone in this list, you should probably recognize if you're a longtime paintball player, that's for sure. Chuck Hench has been pivotal in the growth of paintball, helped build the original dynasty, was the president for a long time of the MPPL, back when the MPPL was the Super 7, so when they were playing in Huntington Beach, Chuck Hench was in charge. He also had huge roles with JT and Die, so he's very influential just in the paintball industry, as well as Ed Poorman. Ed Poorman below him was the founder of Avalanche, had the very iconic brand Warped Sports, and has just been a really big, pivotal role in helping grow paintball, especially during that early 1990s, early 2000s time. I want to say Ed Poorman is Nebraska, too. He's in Nebraska, so out there in a region where there's not tons of other people. I don't know. Brian Pfau, also a legendary paintball player, played for Avalanche, Miami Effect, then went over to Infamous when Infamous defected from the early original NXL, and he also worked for National Paintball Supply for quite a while. Below him is Frank Connell, the second most winning paintball player ever. That doesn't sound right, though. Second most winning player does not sound right. I don't think that's right. Below that, him, we have JC Weddington. You know, I think about JC and I think about tall guys. He played for Arsenal. I envision him in an Arsenal jersey. And JC is one of those guys, kind of like Max and Alex Lindquist, that I looked up to because they kind of gave me hope that, like, you know, a big tall guy can actually still play paintball. When we're told that you have to be small, JC was one of those tall guys that helped give encouragement to other tall guys. Davey Williamson below that, also another legend, played for the Iron Kids Dynasty Excessive and worked for Valken for a little bit. Davey was my sales rep at Valken for a while there. Alex Martinez, owner of San Antonio X-Factor, also X-Factor Paintball Park. Alex is one of those guys that I know Matt Marshall and some of the guys like to call him like a paintball patron. One of those guys that's just helping facilitate a lot of stuff, right? Helping the guys on X-Factor with just regular life stuff for a long time, helping out individual players, giving them a place to play. And just giving players a home to feel successful and whatever. So Alex Martinez going into the Hall of Icons along with those other seven players. Players? Yeah, they're all players, we'll say. They all played paintball at one time. But I kind of feel that, like, you know, Chuck Hench, maybe not getting along with Alex Martinez, not really known for being, you know, paintball players, more for just industry, kind of like helping people out and pro paintball stuff. Those are... Nope, we got another one. And we'll talk about these stats, and then we'll talk about the rules that kind of have helped create these statistics. So you can see everything broken out into 2 years, and this is the same tournament. So this is Tampa 2025 and Tampa 2026. Just comparing how many points were scored and just how the matches worked out. So we can see that there was definitely an average margin of victory was higher. There were less close games this time around. Never mind. There were more close... I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong things. There were more close games this time around. No, less close games this time around. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at the dates all wrong. I don't know, I'm crazy. Less close games. We can see 40% of them were close, so 1 point margin. And these are all prelim games as well. This is not taking into account the finals or anything like that. So less close games, more blowouts. You can see 27% to 20% for blowouts. Total points scored, a few more, nothing, you know, nothing too crazy. Average points per match also ticking up a little bit. That's kind of, you know, indicative of those total points scored as well. And the reason why I bring this up is because I think watching the tournament right away, it was visually... It felt faster, right? Like, everything felt so much faster and games felt so much faster that I actually thought this would be higher, right? Like, I thought that total points would be higher and I assumed average points per match would also be higher, but they weren't all that much higher. And I think that's just because Tampa last year also as well, the tournament played very, very fast. And looking at the scores, there were also quite a few high-scoring games. If we look at the rules for this year... This is kind of one of the things that's going to give away why points are played faster now. Let me gather my thoughts really fast. So we have multiple ways that are decided how you make it on out of the prelims, right? There's these two new rules, 11.4 and 11.5. So typically, you know, if you're in a bracket and you go 4-0 and no one else is in your bracket, you know, no one else goes 4-0 in your bracket, you're going to move on. But, you know, sometimes there's teams that are 2-2, or maybe there's a few teams that are 3-1. Previously, how they decided that most of the time was go head-to-head. So if, you know, Team A and Team B are tied in the same bracket, and Team B wins, like they played each other and Team B beat Team A, then, you know, Team B is going to move on. That's still the case. We can see that right there with number one in there. We're gonna pull up my annotations so I can draw on stuff. We can see in number one that head-to-head competition, but they've added some new stuff. You can see this number of games won by a mercy. So they're trying to encourage teams to beat teams 6-0. So if you have any mercy victories, like a 6-0 mercy win, and the other team you're tied against doesn't, that will dictate. Now, rather than a margin, then the next one, the number of games won by mercy. So if, you know, if you won two and the other team won one, least points scored in a mercy rule. So that's the least amount of points scored. So if you went 6-0, that would be 0 points or 6 points, essentially. If you mercied a team, you know, 7-1, that would be just more points scored. So that other team would go on. Then there's the number of points scored in a win, the number of points scored in a loss. So they're really, really trying to encourage teams to score points, not just win matches, right? You're not just trying to win 1-1 or, you know, 2-1 per se, because that's only going to give you a margin. You know, the margin doesn't matter anymore, I should say. You're only scoring 2 points in that match. So now it's trying to encourage teams to not just win by 1 point to get that margin. You're trying to win 6-0 to get that mercy rule and to just rack up those points. Because just the more points that you score, the better it's going to be, right? That margin doesn't matter anymore. So like a 5-4 margin or win is going to give you a margin of 1, but you really need to get like all way, way, way more points. I guess I keep saying the margin gives you a margin of 1. It would typically have given you a margin of 1, right? And that win would have counted as a win and a margin of 1. But if you win 5-4, now you scored 5 points instead of those 2 points. So the more points you can score, the better. This practically says the exact same thing. It's just for like, you know, when you're tied in a different bracket. If you're, you know, tied going into something else. So they're essentially just wanting people to get and score as many points as possible. What is going on here? No, we're good. I think we're good. Something's going on. I think I might have explained that like crazy, and that was a little weird explanation. But essentially, instead of margin, they want you to score just as many points as possible. So I think we saw that, right? I think that we saw faster gameplay, teams trying to just score a ton of points. We saw that certainly in the prelims. Like I said, Paintball Fit just like clobbered everybody. And I think that's kind of what we see right here. You can see Paintball Fit, though, in second place. But you look at those scores, 7-1 and 9-6. Also Red Legion, you know, 7-5, 7-1, 8-4, 7-5. Just a ton of points scored. But because Red Legion scored more points in general, it kind of puts them up into that number one ranking going into the semifinals. Actually, they get a bye, I believe. So they really want you to score points. The more points you can score, the better off it's going to be. You really want to get like shutouts. So get that mercy rule, whether it's 6-0, you know, maybe it's 7-1, like we can see Paintball Fit right there beat Collision. But you really do want to get those mercy rules, mercy wins. Hopefully, you know, this coming up, this next tournament, we can get like more information and then hopefully, you know, try to like see if it's actually going even faster. We can compare more. Damn, I have so much stuff in here. Where'd it go? Tampa? No. Yeah, there we go. Hopefully we can compare some more tournaments just to get a little more data, because right now we only have, you know, one tournament done to compare to see if stuff's faster. I think that making, you know, having teams go and try to score a lot of points was a fantastic idea. I don't know, whoever like came up with the whole score more points, it seems to work very well. And to me, it seemed like it sped the game up and was just more fun to watch. The one problem, though, is that this is only for the prelims, you know, so it's going to encourage those teams to score a lot of points, because in the prelims, you want to get your wins and score a lot of points. So it's not always like, I just thought of something. I totally distracted myself. In the prelims, yeah, you want to score a lot of points. But as you move on in the tournament, it doesn't matter, right? I mean, you can win 1-0 and you're going to move on. So I think that we also saw that in some of those semifinal matches, that it slowed down quite a bit just because they were trying to get those wins rather than, you know, score points. You just want to be able to, you know, squeak out a win. It doesn't really matter if you can win by 6 or whatever. Just win points. The limited paint probably also helps a little bit as well, because, you know, say you are Paintball Fit and you get up 5-0 and you're trying to get that 6-0 win. It's kind of hard to do it, right? You can't really like hold back and try to grind out to try to like lengthen that point, right? Say you have 5 minutes left and it's 5-0, and ideally you'd probably 6-0 that team. I think, I don't know. Maybe you'd like beat them 9-2 or something crazy, 9-3. Either way, it's going to be very difficult to just hold that team off, because you can't with the limited paint. So having these teams like try to play more aggressive and limiting the paint, I think is really like, so far to me, visually, it looks like it's sped it up a lot. You know, we can look at these stats and it doesn't really look all that much faster, but I really kind of feel like it was. It certainly looked like it played a lot quicker, so for sure. You know, this live stream is sponsored by BFPgear.com. That's BFP Gear's website right there. You know, BFP Gear, they got all kinds of stuff. You can, you know, buy any paintball product your little heart desires on the website. But if you scroll down here, you can also see they have two retail locations here in California, in Modesto and Sacramento. So you can visit a local location, or they're going to have all your brand new paintball desires, just like this Carbon DRV250. I goddamn love all the colors. I really want this pink one. Yeah, I really like the pink one. I was thinking, I'm like, either the lime purple. These are like my three favorite colors. You can get them all over at bfpgear.com. There's a link in the description if you want to, head right over to bfpgear.com. I forgot to do that in the beginning. Make sure to like the live stream. If you're here right now, give the live stream a little bit of a like. You know, show your love to the live stream. Okay, we had results. We had rules. This all went a lot faster than I thought it was going to. We have a handful of highlights. And like I said, normally I watch like every single game. Like I try to watch quite a bit. And this tournament, you know, I was there. I was there all day. Wednesday, Thursday, flew back Friday. Didn't get home till I left the airport at 5 a.m. Or my flight left at 5 a.m. on Friday. So I didn't even go to the hotel. I just went straight to the airport. And got back at 1, took a nap, didn't watch any games Friday, ran a 10K on Saturday. So I didn't really watch a lot. This is the first time I literally haven't watched every goddamn game, so cut me some slack. But we do have some stuff. Hold on. I'm getting there. We only have four highlights. We have the first one, the Hurricanes, Konstantin Fedorov, with I think he shoots four guys in this.
Gonna make this one interesting here. So I got two bodies on the D side. There's no one over there. Here comes Fedorov.
Fedorov with the run.
A gun on Fedorov. Fedorov's gonna get one. Fedorov's gonna get two. He's gonna get checked though and stays alive and then gets the kill here on TJ Danner. That leaves just Bayless and Konstantin Fedorov. Very good chance that Konstantin Fedorov grabbed a coffin nail, put it over X-Factor's coffin, and slammed it home with that beautiful little three-pack run through.
Nail in the coffin. That's like one of the best, you know, I like to be a little over here when we're doing these. Let's move it right here. I like to have that logo showing. Nail in the coffin. That's like the best NBA jam. Whatever.
Gonna make this one
best
interesting
NBA
here.
Jam call. Better off with a four-pack. You know, I don't know. Maybe he shot three guys. One guy, two guy.
Better off's going to get one. Fedorov's going to get two. He's going to get checked, though, and stays alive.
Maybe a guy right there.
Here on TJ Danner.
But then there was
that
someone else.
Just Bayless and Konstantin
maybe he did
Fedorov.
Shoot four.
Very good chance that
shooting four guys. Okay, we have number three. Keith gives damage a chance. Just giving him a chance against Paintball Fit. You can see that score up there, 4-2 with 1 minute. And 4 seconds left. This is a really good move.
Start the attack on the D.
We can see Keith right there in the snake right above my head.
They need to quicken the pace here a bit. Keith Brown knows it as he hits the minute mark, needing two just to tie. He's popping the top. And he's going to run through and he's going to dice up
Bank.
The brick.
Losing him a little bit there.
And then he's.
I think that's Scott Stewart.
Going to get the snake. And Keith Brown is still in touch all the way into the backfield. Looking at the ref. They got 45 seconds left to go.
I liked this too. I saw that. I thought that was funny. You can see Colt walking behind the corner and he's like, what are you guys
looking
doing?
The ref,
what the hell happened?
They got 45 seconds left to go as the rest of the bodies die from the D side. Chavez got shot while he was making that transition. And Keith Brown going to be the hero in this one.
Keith Brown, great move, making it 4-3 with 43 seconds left. And that takes us to our second highlight. Damage, Paintball Fit, damage, tie the score.
Born going all the way quickly into deep.
Damage tie the score? I guess that makes sense.
Three, same run he had last time. Goldman's going to make it to the back corner, and they shoot Colt Lukau, and they shoot Cyrus out of that back center.
Let's see. Here comes damage on the push. Heavy guns up. 26 seconds on the clock. Stewart in the corner. Crossed up, but they lose Seabaugh. Chavi crossed up with Stewart. Can they keep the attack coming for 17 more seconds?
Three bodies in the middle here, Todd, to try to make it happen. But they got to launch as they're starting to pinch out Stewart in the back corner bunker. And there goes the first body with Horn. They shoot the back center. And then with 3 seconds left, Chris Scheer is going to hit the buzzer. They had multiple bodies all converging on the back line at the same time.
That one was a little longer than I thought it was. We have one more. Only one left. Number one, Red Legion Impact, Thomas Hara.
Why he's in this posture.
This is our new guy right there in the snake. This is just a great move in the finals. Done by a young player, rookie pro guy.
Hara is either too young to know to be scared of anybody, or just not scared of anybody, because he is wheeling and dealing and has been.
He's going to pop the top and run the inside route, and he does get the drop. So Thomas Hara is going to get the crucial kill here on Chad George. He's still alive at Impact's Brick. As there goes another body for Edmonton Impact.
And so he definitely shot. I mean, he definitely shot the snake guy, but I don't think he didn't shoot that last guy. But pinching that guy out, helping move him over into guns, and getting that, helping Red Legion get that kill. Those are our four highlights. Not a lot. You know, I watched, again, I just didn't watch the whole thing. So, you know, there's not going to be a bunch of highlights. What do we got on here? Let me go to my notes. So I guess we can talk about, we'll go through my stadium experience. I don't have like a bunch of notes planned on this. So what we're going to do is go here and just kind of go through my pictures, and I'll just, you know, talk about it. Let's see where they're at, though. Tampa Bay iPhone pictures. Okay. So this was as soon as I got there. Like, literally, this was Wednesday morning at probably, like, 8:30, right out in front of the stadium. And I think these are all taken in order. Yeah. There we are in the stadium. This is the exact same seating that guys would have been, you know, you're watching the tournament sitting in this exact same spot. So that was the main seating just before everything got set up. They were rolling out the net. Can kind of see. I'm going to get my telestrator out again. We can see that's all Go Sports people, Major League Paintball Plus setting up over there. And then the pits are all going to be right there. So this is really like 9 a.m. It was kind of crazy to me how fast they set everything up. So we drove in to the stadium at probably, I mean, it might have been like 9:30 or something like that. And the whole place was empty. You know, there was nothing set up. And I'd say by 4:30 or something like that, it was like 98% finished. So being able to get the field completely set up, as well as all the, like, you know, cameras and everything that's kind of required for the evening games, and three man the next day, I guess. That's me in front of the ship. That's just another shot. There's your scoreboard. There's me sitting in the stands again, just watching people set up. You can see they're getting a little bit further, setting up the pits a little there. More pit shots. It's just more me. This was kind of funny. This big thing right there. That right there, that little dome kind of looking thing on there, that put out bird noises. So there were constantly hawk noises, like, like constantly to try to keep birds away. That was kind of cool. This was fun, though. So, I mean, I had a staff wristband, so they gave me a staff wristband, and they're just like, go wherever you want. And this is me just walking around the stadium by myself. There was literally nobody in there. You know, there was some security outside guarding people who got in, but kind of once you got in there, they just let us go wherever we want. I was checking doors to see what was locked. These are just, you know, shots setting up from outside. The pits getting set up. Field still getting there. Big old boom things. I don't even know what those are called. JCBs, maybe. Getting webcast stuff set up. Bunkers. There's the 50-yard line. It's kind of hard to tell, but that's the 50-yard line. There it is again. Rolling out SDI cables. Those are camera cables that go to the cameras. Gridding out the field. That's a cool shot right there. A lot of these are going to be the same, I guess. That's a good one, too. Setting up the score, setting up the pit scoreboards. I couldn't take pictures of the goddamn Jumbotron with my phone. It would always weird it out like that. Something to do with frame rates. Setting cameras up. Setting up. That's a cool shot right there. More shots. Yeah, there's so many of these guys. Maybe we'll just blast through. Getting, that's the pregame, getting the pregame show all set up with the cameras. How about we do this? Ask me questions in the chat and I can answer your questions. Oh, we got a dot right in the middle. Here's some photos from outside that crazy pink Defy field. And this thing was insane. This thing was crazy looking in person. It was certainly much brighter than that. Going out of the tunnel. Security guy. Me filming stuff. I did film a lot. So I have tons of footage that I needed to kind of sift through. There's the underground tunnel. Not underground. It's like underneath the stadium. There's the Bucks locker room. I tried to check the door. It was locked. A lot of stuff wasn't locked, though. More pictures. There's a Jumbotron that actually camera actually worked. That's underneath the stadium. So you can kind of see, like, see this, like, black gap right there? That's actually looking underneath the stadium. So there's actually, like, this big under, it's, like, lifted off the ground. It doesn't actually, like, hit the ground everywhere, which, I don't know. I just found it interesting. That's a cool one. So this should be three man, I believe. Now we're getting into the night ones. These ones might be, I don't know, the most interesting. They are from my phone, so they are just kind of like shitty pictures. I do have better pictures than this will go through, too, from my actual camera. But this is cool. So this is, I'm sitting pretty much like, I think like right here or something like that. Definitely somewhere around here, just on the opposite side. So that's right in like the very first row of that second deck. You know what I noticed too? I didn't really notice this until we were like kind of done. Is the stadium's not symmetrical. Because the paintball field is laid perfectly down the center of the field. And the stands are also perfectly like lined up with the 50. But you can see there's like this big gap over here. And I think that's because this is the sideline for the NFL games. So they actually have the sideline a little bit bigger for the players on this side than they do over here. Not that that's anything interesting, but that's why there's like kind of a deader area over here and everyone's kind of like over on that side. It just looks cool. So one thing that I definitely noticed is that like, it just looks way cooler in person too, right? Like, actually being there, it's just so much cooler. I don't think that the videos and the webcasts and like pictures, none of that stuff really like shows how cool it actually is. You know, like obviously being there is better, but I don't know. It's just something about it. It definitely feels neater and like a bigger deal when you're in person. Not just because of the atmosphere, but just kind of just because, I don't know, it just looks cooler in person. I really liked how, You could hear the guns shooting. You can hear the guns shooting pretty good. You could hear communication on the field. It was a little bit more difficult during the five-man to hear, like, the communication from the players, because there were just so many people in the stands that just the people talking and murmuring and stuff kind of, like, drowned out the field a little bit. But certainly during three-man, when there were fewer people on the field, you could really hear the communication really well. That's inside the stadium at, like, super late. I think this is, like, 11 o'clock at night. It's pitch black outside. Getting ready to leave. Everybody's gone. The field's getting deflated. Stuff's coming down. This is... So all the Major League Paintball Plus guys that are in this area right here in that tent doing the webcast had to move a lot of equipment back outside because, you know, this is Thursday night. So games start tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the main field out there in the parking lot. So they had to move a lot of the hardware and equipment back out to the main production trailer that was next to the pro field like it usually is. So that's what these are from. This is, you know, getting stuff packed into the truck and moved over. And these are all back at the field at like 11 p.m. at night or something like that. I left the field at 12:45 a.m., I believe. So we were there for a long time. I wasn't there nearly as long as the Major League Paintball Plus guys. I mean, they get there early in the morning, almost, I think, before the sun comes up, and then leave at, you know, 1 a.m. So they're there for a long time. That's that production trailer moving stuff in. There's an actual trailer inside the actual trailer, resetting everything up. It was really cool watching Major League Paintball Plus guys. Really good at, everyone works really well as a team. Everyone's experts and knows what they're doing and just really good. You know, I was surprised by, it seemed like no direction really needed, right? Like Darren, the producer for Major League Paintball Plus, seemed like he didn't do much. I mean, not in a bad way. That's a good thing. Not like he didn't do anything, but it was kind of like everyone just knows what to do, right? He wasn't out there like, oh, you gotta like telling everyone what to do. Everyone just like, go do your job. And everyone just did it perfect. So that's kind of cool to see as well. There's your cable cam. More cable cam pictures. Just random gear camera videos. No, these aren't videos. Field pictures from night. A generator. That's kind of cool. I like that shot. I like these ones at night that are just lit by like stuff around them. There's only a couple more of these. That's me leaving. Waiting for Uber. Nope, there's the airport. I thought this was funny. The guy has a fake leg. This was on the like airplane, you know, evacuation stuff. And I got a fake leg. There's more pictures, but what are you guys talking about in here? Who's got any like cool questions for me or something? Best joke from Todd Martinez. I don't know, because I didn't really watch so much of the webcast. So I didn't really... I'm going to turn the air off. I'm getting cold. There's really probably no reason for it to be 64 degrees in here. I don't know. Tell us about the bathroom. Okay, I think I can tell you about the bathroom. Which bathroom, though? I don't know. I talked about like pooping in the player bathroom. This bathroom was kind of funny. There's pictures of this here. Hold on, we'll see them. We'll get to them. Oh, you know what? Hold on. Okay, let's see. Where am I at? I'm losing my train of thought. So some of these are probably going to be very similar to, you know, some of the previous pictures that we already looked at, mainly because, you know, I'm sitting in the same spot. So some of them I just want to get good pictures of. Some of them I just want to... Some of them I want to get good pictures of, so I get the good camera. But this has got... I kind of have an ND filter on, and I totally forgot. So some of these are, like, crazy grainy. So this is from that pirate ship. This is on, like, the first deck of the pirate ship, looking into, obviously, the field. Just more setting up pictures from the pirate ship. There's me holding the wheel of the pirate ship. There's the actual cannon. I didn't want to take off... You know, I'm not taking off that bag, but... The actual cannon is right there. Just more pirate ship views. More pirate ship. Here's your prices. As we can tell, I had the ND filter on, so the ISO is like 4,000. But there's all your prices for stuff. I was like, okay, I'll have a couple beers. And then I was like, oh man, I don't really want to pay $40 for two beers. So I didn't. I don't know. I just was like, I didn't expect, you know, NFL prices. I don't know why. I mean, I should have. I was just like, oh, they're going to be a little bit more, you know, like paintball tournament prices, like $7 or $8. But, you know, they weren't as expected. I shouldn't have expected anything different. There's just a, I don't know, are we calling those JCBs? That's what that is. I don't know, sitting there waiting to lift the net up. There's your pirate ship. There was Zach Bryan. That was, I believe, what was here before. Or at least they left some of those on the fence things they were putting up. There's my wristband. People setting up, getting the scoreboard functioning correct. Shut up, we're trying, I think. Some Houston Heat guys for three-man. This is all three-man stuff. AJ Buffton. You see Nick Sloviak in the background right there. So here's a bathroom picture. So this says, fuck the Bucks. And this is in the players' bathroom. That's in the bathroom. No, it's not the players' bathroom. It's on the field bathroom. So right when you go out of the tunnel, there's a bathroom. And this was in that bathroom, like right off the field. That's kind of cool. I like that one. These are cool. I took like really long, slow shutter speed to see what they'd look like. You can see kind of how the like... banner is moving about down there. Just more pictures. None of these should be like insane. It was really cool. I liked how they had the, you can see how they have all the paintball companies and stuff around that. I can't remember what they call that. There's a very specific term for that like board that goes around the inside. Your tech classes were held in third bank. I thought it was 3/5 at one point, and I was like, yeah, let's not call our bank that. If anyone gets that, there's some sort of server rack thing. Some hyperball tubes are going to build a hyperball field, apparently. No, not really. I don't know what those are doing there. Dan Shelley with your photographer of the year. Yeah, there was also the Summit Awards, but I was sitting in like the, I don't know. I was watching the Summit Awards, but didn't actually like publish the like winners and stuff, or we'd have talked about them. I mean, I don't remember who won. Dan Shelley won. I know I didn't win Video of the Year, that's for sure. Verbal, he won for, I think, Videographer of the Year. And then what was the other one? I can't remember. I think Dan Shelley also won Photograph of the Year. Oh, Verbal won Innovator of the Year and Videographer of the Year. Did you know that? That's just a cool photo right there. That's a good one. You can see the pirate ship, the scoreboards, and the fans in the background. That's Tampa from the top of the stadium. There's your divisional fields from the top of the stadium. There's just a shot of the tournament from the top of the stadium. There's the pro field for tomorrow. Well, not tomorrow, but, you know, Friday. Tampa in the background. Tampa and part of the tournament. I was curious what city this was. I'm going to figure that out. I could see these big buildings, like, way in the distance. And I was like, I don't know what the hell is over there. Just some more tournament shots. People walking across the street. So definitely they had all this traffic shut down. You can't see right now, but on the sides, there were like these big kind of like crazy security gate thing. So like way kind of like right over here and like, I don't know, somewhere over here, they were blocked off the road. So that was cool. You could just easily walk back and forth. Some more scoreboards. This whole area like below the scoreboard. So the pirate ship, you can see the pirate ship right there. And then there's this whole area. It reminds me of Disneyland. I mean, just look at like the fake faux buildings. It just feels like you're at the Pirates of Caribbean or something for any Disney adults out there. Another scoreboard. That's a good one. I like that one. Man, my OBS is getting weird. There we go. Come on, Daddy-O. Yes, there's only a handful of pictures left. There's the airport. So the vicinity to the field is crazy. I mean, this is, you know, in the stadium, and there's the airport right there. So it's like everything is exceptionally close. Taking Uber from the airport at night to the from the stadium to the airport takes like, you know, 7 minutes and costs $42. Cool shot from the stadium. There was a good amount of time that I was sitting. Did I take photos? I might not have taken any pictures from the spot I was sitting. I did not. There's a ton of video, but at one point I was high up like this. I was high like this, but shifted more over to the right. So I was like right behind back center. And that was pretty cool. It was really neat because there's no net. The net doesn't really obscure a lot. So being able to get like that high and right behind back center was pretty cool. Just about that high. We can see people getting boozed up, maybe getting some nachos. There's your scoreboard again, the Russians walking out. That's a cool one too. I really like how I can see like both of these scoreboards. This just looks really good, right? Like the sunset in the background. I can probably take that and clean that up and make it better. And there's me. Those are all my pictures. I don't know. We'll just talk about the whole thing in general. I really liked it. You know, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, who knew what it was going to look like? Nobody knew. So I was just didn't know what to expect. And after it was all set up, like, it just looked really cool. Like, it just looked really cool. I imagine that the players had a lot of fun just being able to be in that environment. Watching Tampa Bay Damage play in front of, like, their home crowd was really cool. Like, people were cheering so much. I don't think I've heard paintball that loud ever. Even those old MPPL tournaments where there were, like, so many people, I don't think the crowd ever got that loud. I mean, maybe they did for like the Joy Division Dynasty game back in the day when everyone was like screaming from the bleachers, but hearing just the murmuring and everyone just kind of excited, and it was just really fun. I think the only thing that kind of sucked was maybe the games could have been swished around a little. You know, the one thing I noticed right away was that everybody kind of left after Damage. Not everybody, maybe like 30% of the people left after Tampa Bay Damage played. So after that first set, we just lost a lot of people. So by that last set, there weren't as many people there. I mean, these pictures are like right when it started. So people definitely started to, you know, trickle out a little bit more. I'm trying to find a picture with people. Yeah, all those people, that's pretty much the max people. I have no idea how many people that is, but that was probably the maximum amount of people. I mean, you can still see people actually coming in. Like right here, you would enter over here, take the concourse and go all the way up. I have a lot of video of that, so there'll be video of that at some point. And then walked all the way in. It was really cool. But you can see people are probably still coming in right there. But there was a pretty good drop off after Damage played. I assume it's because it's Damage, you know, Tampa Bay Damage being a local team. you know, I just assume once those people saw damage play, they just left. I don't imagine it was just because they weren't interested or, you know, whatever. Yeah, it was cool. You know, along with BFP gear, oh gosh, this live stream is also sponsored by Carbon Paintball, the maker of the newest, most advanced, unmatched in performance hopper, the Carbon DRV. They're extremely fast, you know, on par speed-wise with the die rotor. So you're getting like 30-ish balls a second, but they're also very easy on paint. You can adjust. Man, I keep like putting my freaking like this damn. No, whatever. We'll fix it later. Unmatched battery life. Maybe not unmatched, but extraordinary battery life. You're getting 30,000 shots on a battery. It charges via USB. Right? Oh gosh. I'm gonna drop this thing. I haven't charged this in so long. Via USB right there, you get 30,000 shots, so it's kind of like you don't even need to charge the goddamn thing. You got an OLED screen on the back to help you change settings and I'm trying to put the hopper in the top part. Help you change settings, but most probably encouraging with that screen on the back is you got a timer built into your hopper. The Carbon DRV, you get an aluminum feed neck, which I like, because it, you know, helps the thing just stay more stable. You know, some of these hoppers, like, shimmy around a lot. They're like aluminum base that's mounted to the thing. Just helps it stay in place a lot better. You get a case. If you want the best, most advanced paintball hopper in the galaxy, it's going to be that Carbon DRV. They just released the 250. Oh, this isn't the whale. Remember the actual whale hopper? Check out the Carbon DRV. There's a link below. Or, you know, you can get them at any of your favorite paintball retailers like bfpgear.com. We'll probably talk about Carbon a little bit later, too. They'll come back into this. They'll come back into play. Yep. I don't know. What else about Tampa? What else could I say about Tampa? I really liked it. Yeah, I was, like, pleasantly surprised. How just cool it looked. Verbal, I know I missed you. I sent you a message earlier, too. I'm so bad at, like, replying to messages. I actually didn't use the internet for, like, 3 days. Yeah, I was just crazy. It was so busy. I pretty much got all the footage that I wanted, I think, which is good. I mean, I haven't really looked at a lot of the footage. I went through the trade show 4 separate times and tried to, like, seek out and talk to a bunch of people. I was able to accomplish some of that. Some of the booths and everyone was so busy that, like, you know, right? So I was like, okay, I'll try to come back later. And they were still busy, or they weren't there or something. So some of the people just didn't work out. Yeah, there was just so much to do. It was crazy. Yeah, I tried to multiple booths. Like, I definitely noticed that Paintball Retro and the Enemy of the State booth were popping off all the time. Like, I was like, oh, okay, we'll go through again. And I'm like, damn, there's like 50 people in that booth. I was like, I can't, like, it's difficult for me to stand around and wait because I'm like, oh, I got to be doing something else. So it's hard to stand around. And then it, you know, 5 minutes turns into an hour and a half. I lost my voice. Friday, I couldn't talk. I was like, what's going on? I talked so much on Thursday that I lost my voice Friday. It's full back now, though. And I got there so early some days that, I mean, people weren't even set up. Wednesday's a weird day because it's, you know, the tournament, no one's really there yet. So, like, some people were set up. Thursday, I got there so early, no one was there yet. It was cool. I think it was great. I mean, everything looked so cool. I don't know. It just looked good. I think that the Summit Awards looked really cool. It was really neat. Everybody walking out. Verbal won an award, so he might be able to tell you actually if it was cool or not. Yeah, it just looked really neat on camera. That's for sure. verbal, I'm like 99% positive I have like footage from like of you winning from like the top of the arena or some stadium. I don't know. I haven't even looked at it. It looked really cool. I honestly didn't really watch a lot of games, to be honest. So three man and five man, I honestly didn't watch at all. Like, not at all. Covered in paint. I liked your yellow pants. You had those cool yellow pants on, though. I was like, they're sweet. Yeah, I just didn't watch games. I was so concentrated on, like, you know, filming stuff and, you know, doing other things that I didn't stop to watch games. I did sit down a lot and talk to a gentleman almost all of the five-man games. I can't remember his name. I was trying to remember his name all day today. He's from Massachusetts. It was an excellent conversation, and we just hung out and talked shit. I was exhausted. I couldn't think straight by the end of the Thursday night. Thursday night? Yeah. I see someone said, hearts, something that really surprised you, products or stuff. I don't know. I didn't really see any new products. I don't think there were any new products really, you know? I mean, I guess I saw some stuff, but nothing was like surprising, you know, nothing really crazy. I lost my train of thought. Oh, this is what I thought. This is what I was thinking about. This was kind of crazy. This is kind of cool. I like this a lot, actually. This is... I mean, you guys can just watch it. We'll just listen to it together. There might not be audio, though. Hold on. Jeez. We'll restart this.
This year, the number one is going to be named tomorrow.
Hold on. Trying to figure this out. I don't know what's actually happening. Hold on.
NY1, they're going to start it. And one of them is going to drive a brand new custom.
Sorry, guys. I don't know what the heck's going on with the audio. I mean, OBS last week updated, and I had to, like, redo all the settings, so I might have not done that. We'll let this play again, and I'll just tell you what he says. Hi, I'm John Brinkman with Contract Killer. We're here at the Tampa. This is the first event of the year. If you haven't seen it, this is the Contract Killer Custom SoFlo Jeep. Custom made for our Contract Killer. Here's the deal. Here's what we're doing. We're naming five contract killers this year. The number one is going to be named tomorrow. It's going to be the 2025 contract killer. We'll have the MVP of Tampa, MVP of Dover, Cincinnati, Texas, and then at World Cup. Those five contract killers are going to come to the booth with the big VIP party we're having. The truck's going to be in the booth. We're going to have five keys. They're all going to walk up, pick their key, walk over to the Jeep. And then one of those is going to start it and drive away with their brand new custom contract killer Jeep. I like it. Pretty cool. Hopefully they can sell it. Pretty neat. I like it. So I have the picture of that, right? That Jeep was actually in one of the shots that we saw when I was in the there it is right there. Son of a bitch. Right there. I mean, it's really cool, you know? It's pretty sweet. I don't know if I can drive that. Can you drive? What's the deal with doors? You don't have to have doors? There might be, like, different laws in different states, I guess, for, like, having doors or whatever on your vehicle. I like this one a lot. I like that shot. That shot's pretty cool. Tampa! That's what happened in Tampa. I don't know. What else? Yeah, everything just looked really cool. I really like, you know, the field looked good. I think, I know people were like, kind of complaining about like what the turf looked like or the ground looked like. And, you know, I get it, right? You know, everyone wants like perfect, you know, golf course grass, but, you know, sometimes that can't happen. It was kind of just dead. It wasn't like, you know, dirt or hard packed, at least. It was really kind of soft. It kind of felt like walking on turf. Like if you guys have turf at your field, you know how it's kind of like, it's kind of a little soft and cushy a little bit. Yeah, it kind of felt like that, but there is definitely, it's obviously Florida. So it's like kind of sand underneath it. So I don't actually know what it looked like after everyone was done playing. I didn't actually walk out there. So whether it played excellent and people liked it or not, I don't know, but it didn't feel terrible. So that was good. It definitely was sticky. There were some times where I saw people dive and it was like, dunk. They just kind of like stopped. But yeah, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't as bad as I think it looked, at least. Actually, I don't even know if it looked that bad. You know, one of the things that I did like about that turf is it was consistent. You know, it's not like weird and patchy. So at least I keep saying turf with the grass. It wasn't weird and patchy. You know, sometimes we're at tournaments and it's like nice over here and then dirty, like a dirt pile and whatever. So at least it was like super consistent. So it might not have been like perfectly green and manicured, but it doesn't look bad. It doesn't look bad, like, you know, because it's so consistent. It is really weird to see, like, you know, the football lines on the like field or whatever. It was cool. I enjoyed it. It was fun. I'm glad I went. And I'm glad they invited me. So shout out to Major League Paintball for helping get me there. Yeah. Ben says they didn't water the grass because they were replacing it for the next NFL season. For sure. Tom Cole said something like that, and that's the only reason that we're really allowed to go, because they're like redoing everything. So if it does get, you know, crazy destroyed, they're just, you know, replacing it either way. Exactly, kind of like Ben just did there. Give the live stream a like, goddammit, if you're here right now. Make sure to like the live stream. Just give it a little, you know, smack or something. Stadium experience. Yeah, it was cool. I keep trying to say things that I liked and I keep getting distracted, but Jumbotron was cool. I mean, really cool. I mean, it was cool for like the experience of, for us, right, being able to look at the Jumbotron and see the score, and like it just looked so good, you know. I mean, the quality of that screen in an NFL stadium is just like crazy. So it looked super crisp. The colors were really vibrant. The saturation seemed good. It just looked really cool. Obviously, the one part that sucks is, you know, if you guys watched, you can just easily look up at the, you know, Jumbotron and like tell where people are at. You know, that kind of sucked. But I do kind of think that in the future, there's a way to like mitigate that. So I think that it is possible to reduce how much people can actually see the Jumbotron. So if they were to do it again, I think you can like block off part of the net and make it kind of cool. Yeah, Verbal. One time in three man, I was watching Rainey. I was on the field, not actually inside the net, but like on the, I don't know, NFL field, whatever, and was in the snake corner, like in the pit area, and watching Rainey, he's like shooting, like standing in this can or in the corner or whatever, shooting and like looking at the Jumbotron and like shooting while looking at the Jumbotron, like repositioning while he's shooting, looking at the Jumbotron. I was like, that's crazy. So it probably wasn't the best for actual gameplay, but it was really cool looking. I think one thing that was suggested to me, someone else came up with the idea, was how they had it set up. They had like, actually go, I think I could demonstrate it on here. Like an idea for... Yes, we'll use this. So right now, this is also flipped. This is not what I was like wrong about this whole setup. So right now, you know, you have the Jumbotron right here and the other one's right there. And the problem, you know, is obviously the players can just look up and see the Jumbotron whenever they want. So one good idea was to not have this Jumbotron, right? Just get rid of this one so that you still have these side ones that are going to have the time and the score and stuff like that on them. Because, you know, that's not, you're not cheating looking at the score. So we have Jumbotron. There's the big one that has the actual players on it. And then these also have them along the sides, too, that had just the score and the time and stuff. So one kind of good idea was, since we're all sitting over here in this grandstand area, was just turn off this one. Like, just get rid of these completely. There's no Jumbotron. Just don't turn that one on. Right? So just get rid of this one completely. And then you actually change the net. So we'd have, like, normal see-through net on the bottom, but then toward the top, you could, like, black out the net so that when players are in the bunker, right, they can look over at the sidelines and still see, you know, the pit area and everything fine. But if they look up, because the net is just black, maybe we could position it so it would black out the far side Jumbotron so that, you know, players, we could have the net still transparent over on this side. You could see through it fine. But over here, because there's no seating, it doesn't really matter if people can see through the net up high. You just block it off. That could work, but it was really cool having the Jumbotron so close and, like, big and shit. It really was neat to look at. So it kind of sucks to get rid of that, but, you know, I don't know. That's maybe a little bit of a solution for all those screen watchers out there. Who knows if it would work? Oh, is that why? I didn't even know. Is that why the side ones were not on? I had to rent it based on time? That's crazy. Huh. I didn't know that. I didn't even, like, think about it. I just assumed they were still setting it up and they didn't quite get it ready yet. I didn't even know that. That's funny. So it would be kind of cool. I don't know. Boosted. So, Will, what's going on? I don't know. Yeah, one thing, like I said, I didn't watch a ton of games. Hearts. I did notice, like, multiple guys get bounced in the head. I can't remember what I was watching, but somebody got bounced in the head and then they got pulled out and got a penalty for it because, like, they had a little bit of paint on their head and they got bounced in the head and they, like, stopped and, like, looked and then started shooting again and then they got a penalty because the ref thought that, like, the previous little, like, mark was in their head. I did damage twice. That's crazy. I did notice that. I was like, wow. I mean, guys aren't getting bounced in the head that much. Kind of, though, I also thought about that, too. I'm like, your head's kind of shaped perfectly to get bounced off, though. You know, bing. It kind of just ricochets off. A lot of people chopping, huh? Yeah, see, I haven't really, like, fully watched it yet. I watched a teeny bit of the night stuff just to see what it looked like and stuff. I'll probably go back during the week and I'll, like, watch some more just to get, like, an idea of what it looked like or, you know. Checking out games. Chris Martin, I see you up there. What'd you say? I'd like to see a marriage proposal on a paintball John. Well, if Chris Raymond and I go next year, I'll propose to Chris Raymond. That would be so funny. Okay. I actually want to do it. That would be great. It's so funny. Could we do it though, or are you like, we're like, could you? Would you say yes or no? Which would be more funny, if you said no, and ran away, and then I'll like chase you? They should take the money they paid the cheerleaders and water the grass next time. I don't know if that was the problem, though. I mean, the real problem is that, like, you know, I mean, I don't know if you can tell. Here, I'll see if I can. I don't even know if it wouldn't have mattered, I don't think, what they did to the grass. Let me see, though. I don't know if, like, you can tell. Yeah, you can tell, actually. So, see this big, like, let me get my whatever out. See this big black rectangle right here? Before we got there, so like literally the morning we were there, on Thursday morning, they were still moving stuff out of the stadium. Because for these like huge concerts and stuff, they actually put down this like fake floor. So they like cover the whole grass with like, maybe not the whole grass, but like large portions of it. Kind of like this big weird square spot. They actually cover, they put like this fake, not fake, but you know, I don't know. These like boards, like this floor down so that you're not walking on the grass. So I think it's been covered up a lot too. It's not even that like it was just sitting there and they just didn't water it. It's like it's been covered a whole bunch. Apparently they had like monster trucks there like recently. So there was a bunch of stuff that was covering up that grass to, I think, made it, like, you know, not die. Yep. Grass looks terrible. I don't know if there's a way to, like, make it better. I mean, you guys have obviously watched paintball tournaments, and by, like, the third match, the, like, turf is literally, the grass is literally destroyed. So it's, like, it doesn't even, like, it doesn't matter, you know, like, I don't know. I was going to like go find pictures, because it's like if you look at the, you know, regular pro field, you know, the first games, the grass is perfect and it looks great. And then, you know, by Sunday, it's not even green anymore. It's just like covered in paint and like there's like holes everywhere where people are diving and stuff. So it's hard to get like these facilities that are paying, you know, $100,000 for their perfect grass, and we're going to come in there and just ruin it or whatever. Paint it green. What did they like? They've done that before, I think, even. Yeah, but ideally the grass would be perfect, of course. The cow paths, for sure. Verbal, definitely. Is Ryan Greenspan out all season? I don't know. I actually don't know about that. I'm not sure. I didn't really find out how injured he actually was. They definitely obviously had Spica play for them, which is kind of funny because he was like, I didn't even practice the whole tournament. I didn't even practice. He's like, I didn't play the layout or do anything. So Spica did play. I don't know how much he played, though. I know he was suited up and stuff, but like I said, I didn't really watch a ton, so I'm not entirely sure how much he played. Greenspan was 100% coaching, though. At one point, I saw him like running around with the clipboard and like doing stuff, and I'm like, what happened to Junior? Because Junior Brown is like their coach, and then he walked over to Junior, and they started talking, so Junior's still coaching. There we go. Stadiums replace the grass every year. So they don't care. So maybe we should, maybe we can get like, it could be consistent then, if they're like replacing it that often. I can't imagine them replacing it every year though. That seems crazy. Right? Every year. I don't have any idea, but it just seems like a lot. Peptides? What peptides, Chris? Yeah, Shelley Farmer. It was really cool seeing her there. Like, you know, I've just remember like hearing her during those Millennium and I guess really kind of just Millennium commentator stuff. So for sure, I wasn't able to really watch semi-pro and WNXL, but it looks like, you know, I clicked into the streams a little bit. It does look like they increased that like quality quite a bit as well. Now that previously there was a different company that was doing the live streams for the NXL, they were like, you know, instead of Major League Paintball doing it, they just got some other company to do it so they could, you know, focus on the pro field. And now it's all Major League Paintball Plus. So it's possible we see some improvements in that live stream as well. I was asked if I wanted to go into the announcer's booth, and I just totally blanked. I probably would have. I just totally forgot. Because I was like, oh, if I do, I'd prefer it to be three-man when, like, no one's, you know, it's not a big deal and people aren't going to be like, this guy sucks. So I was like, I'll do it during three-man. And I just totally forgot. I just, I don't know. It's so crazy. Everyone's so busy. You know, everyone's constantly doing stuff. And it just slipped my mind and no one else thought about it. There was something else I was going to say that I, like, lost train of thought right there, though. I don't remember. Oh yeah. The video that I made a video for Major League Paintball Plus about paintball fit that is on the Major League Paintball Plus webpage, mlpbplus.com. And I guess you could use it on the app and stuff like that. And I did not know that they would be running a promo for that, the whole webcast. So, sorry everybody, you had to hear me all the time. I turned it on and I was like, oh no, why am I talking? No! I muted it really fast. I'm like, oh, I don't want to hear myself talk. So, I'd kind of like mute the webcast and turn around if I heard myself and come back. Funny. Yeah, I didn't expect it. I was like, oh no. And it's fine. Like, not that like they shouldn't have done it. I just don't want to hear myself, you know? I'm like, oh damn. It's like, oh. I was like, I watched this I don't want to listen to myself. It's funny that like editing the videos, I'll listen to them, like, you know, editing the video, I hear the thing 100 times. It's like over and over and over, and that's fine. But as soon as the video is published and it's on YouTube, I'm like, ugh. It's like, I want nothing to do with it. So I hate it. It was cool. It was cool though, for sure. It's weird. It's just odd. I've been doing this all alone for so long. It's weird that like, people actually like, maybe not weird that they recognize it, but weird that people actually watch, you know? Because I don't like see those people in real life, so I don't know. Lisa, you said, don't be shy, Brad. Your human interest coverage is everything that has been missing from the broadcasts. Love it. Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you. What is your voice is very subtle for TV? What does that mean? Because subtle, I think, like, very, like, bum, bum, bum. I also probably would have edited, like, if I knew they were going to use that little three-minute thing for the webcast, I probably would have done something different, too. Because it's literally, like, the first 3 minutes of the webcast. Golden voice. I definitely don't have a golden voice. Maybe if I just talked like this all the time. I talk like bad English. That's okay. I was curious what you mean. Because Subtle's like, he's very subtle and quiet and like, it's very like tactful. And he's very subtle. I don't know. My voice. I feel that I talk all over the place. I like to like, I try to like use my voice like a yo-yo. Okay. Yeah, there's so many videos. Let's see how many videos I shot. I have them all here. There are Tampa, clip one, 102 videos in there, and 282 in this one. So I have 400 and something clips to sort through. Some of them are really long. Like this one's 6 minutes. Yeah, all the Major League Paintball Plus guys, I kind of hung out with them the whole entire time. So I was with them all Wednesday and all Thursday. And everyone was great. You know, everyone was super nice. I mean, really every single person, except for maybe two people, were really great. So not the Major League Paintball Plus guys, just two people in general at the whole tournament. yeah, they were good. Yeah. But everyone was great. All the Major League Paintball Plus guys, almost every single person I came in contact with was really nice and helpful and, you know, whatever. Just good stuff. So I appreciate those guys, the Major League Paintball Plus crew, taking me in and letting me kind of like hang out and mill around. And I was going to say harass people, but I didn't really harass anybody. I don't think I got in the way either. I was very not trying to get in the way. Oh, my glasses. Which glasses? Oh, maybe the glass at a tournament. I thought about like my like eyeglasses. I don't know what I don't know what glasses I had on. I don't know. I can't remember the names of them. I know what ones I had. I can't remember the brand name of my head. They were free, so I didn't buy them. Got any good partners / projects for the future? Maybe not partners. I don't know. I don't know yet. Definitely tomorrow, I'm going to start that Oliver Lang video. So tomorrow is definitely going to be the not starting. I kind of started already, but I'm going to continue working on the Oliver Lang leaving San Diego Dynasty video. Oliver... Yeah, Oliver Lang. We're going to say... the most influential paintball player ever. That's easy to say. Leaving Dynasty, switching teams to get paid $500,000 to switch teams. 2006. So we'll make that video coming up. Hopefully get some Oliver Lang interview. I believe Oliver would do that. So I'm going to try to do that. And I don't know if there'll be anyone else in the video. I thought about trying to get a Dynasty person, like asking and talking to them about what it was like when he left, you know, like maybe Alex or Yosh or Greenspan or maybe somebody else that was on the team that's, nah, probably one of those three. They're probably the best guys to do it, so we'll see though. Is Greg Hastings still alive? I hope so. I think so. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Bob Long's alive, for sure. I'd know that one for sure. For sure. Bob's still alive. 100%. I would know that. And I... Greg's gotta be alive. Yes. For sure. I imagine. He opened a new era of pro paintball. For sure. Oliver was, just... Yeah, the most influential paintball player ever. For sure. No question. I'm on the edge of saying if he's the best. You know, I always want to say that Alexander Brydnikov is the best. Shout out Brydnikov. He actually came up and talked to me, and I was, like, blown away. I was like, holy shit, dude. He, like, came up behind me and grabbed my arm, and he's like, what's up? I was like, oh, my God. That was pretty cool. Yeah, I'm always, I don't know if he's one of them two is the best. Nate? Yeah, just rewind. I can't recap it already. Angel Fargoza? Fargoza was a fan favorite for sure. Yeah, everybody loved Angel. Angel Fargoza, for sure. He was a very popular paintball guy. Looking at my videos. I don't know, maybe we could look at... We can look at a couple of these videos. Let's just look at some of this stuff. We're going to do it a little weird, though. We're going to do it like this. Can I do that even? Oh, I'm in the wrong window. I'm like, what the fuck's going on, dog? There's Mr. Brinkman again. Let's close that. So, you know, one thing that I really like to do... Let's see if I can, like, find a video, and I'll show you guys something that I made a very long time ago. One of the things I like to do when I've traveled is set the camera up on a tripod and make these, like, I don't know what to call them, really. I kind of like to think them as, like, moving, like a picture, like a moving picture or something like that, like a movie. Hold on, I'll show you something. Jesus. Where's like a really old one? What the hell's going on here? I'm like not in. Oh, there it is. I was looking for this very specific video. We'll make it unlisted or we're not going to watch it. So yeah, I like to like set the camera up on a tripod and kind of, this is taking way too long. Sorry guys. It kind of reminds me of that video right there. So one thing I really like to do is like set the camera up on like a tripod and just like let these little, like, scenes play out. It's not a tripod one, but... And then, you know, like, it keeps skipping forward to, like... You know, different little scenes or whatever. Different places. I like it. You can get, like, a feel of what it's like. Anyway, I want to do that. I will probably do that for this tournament and put that somewhere. Like, in a members video or something. It just reminds me of this, because it's just, like, a still kind of shot with good audio, so audio that kind of matches, you know, I have a good microphone on this camera. Thank you. I don't think that we're like, I don't know what's going on. Lots of ghost sports stuff. Oh, that's my video. Oh, they even played it on the Jumbotron. I forgot. I think I didn't notice this, though. They were on the Jumbotron. And I was like, oh, God. What is going on? Oh, there we go. I think this is me walking through. I set it up so I was, like, walking into the stadium. None of these are going to be that exciting. Oh, I haven't looked at this. I wondered how this turned out. Okay, that's not bad. I was just, had the tripod, and I was just holding the tripod really high. So this is what I was doing most of the time, is filming like, I really liked one of these. I remember these were, one of these was really good. The bunkers are like rolling around. Like nobody's in the picture. That's a good one. Lots of stuff. Okay, that's that. So I don't know what I'm doing. I gotta get all those like videos together and going to do something. I don't entirely know exactly what the video is going to be yet, but certainly something on like what Tampa was like and just talk about it a little bit more. And then most likely a behind the scenes video of like Go Sports Major League Paintball Plus. One thing I did find out though, like I was going there to do the behind the scenes thing. That was one of the things I wanted to do. But man, I found out so much more like stuff that like I didn't know I wanted to know, or it's difficult going into it because, you know, I've never done the production. You know, I don't know what the heck's going on. So going into it, I didn't know what to expect really. And then after being there, now I'm like, oh, I should have done this, or now I have like a better understanding of what it is. So it's almost like I should go to another one now that I know what to do. So I don't know. We'll figure it out. Is weed legal in Florida? No, certainly not. No. Although you could smell it a little bit at the field. I don't do that stuff though, so I don't know. Drugs are bad, okay? Yeah, I think it's like medical. You can get it for medical stuff or whatever. It was definitely an aroma of marijuana, though, in the stadium. Not really. I mean, just a little bit. Not like if it was here. If it was in California, it'd be like different. It would be different. Oh, I saw someone say an establishing shot. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's pretty much just a bunch of establishing shots put together. Yeah. Kind of, pretty much. Blazing down in the VIP. They didn't care. I would assume someone would have, said something. I don't know. I didn't blaze down in Tampa. Yeah, I couldn't, imagine anyone actually caring, though. But, you know, because it's, technically illegal. And, it just gets weird with them, renting the space, you know, the league might care just because it might reflect badly on, them getting something in the future or something, you know, but I couldn't see anyone actually, caring. There's some people that don't like it. There's quite a few people that don't like the smell of weed and stuff like that. So some people, it bothers people, which, you know, I get it, so. Think Timu, Heat, and Aftershock will get it together next event. Maybe take a few months to get to gel. I don't know. I mean, we've waited for Aftershock, and we wanted Aftershock to be good, you know, 2 years ago, a year ago, when they had, like, an exceptional roster, and they didn't put it together then. So I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen with Aftershock? Houston Heat? Yeah, I don't know. I don't even remember how Houston Heat did. Let's go back over here, and I want to see the prelim scores. I do have all the 2026 Tampa scores right there. I was kind of disappointed in the Sea Dogs. The Sea Dogs didn't do so great. I wanted the Sea Dogs to do good. Jungle Cats actually played pretty good. Beat the Sea Dogs. They had a 5-2 loss to Arsenal. 2-6 the Hurricanes. 1-5 Impact. Yeah, that's kind of rough, huh? Houston Heat. Yeah. 2-2? I mean, that's not that bad, you know, especially with their roster kind of getting upended and just getting a little weird over there. Aftershock did not do that well. 17th place. But close matches, I mean, look at 4-5, 4-6, 5-6, 6-9. Nothing like super crazy. They didn't get any like wild blowouts. You know, Extreme got a 1-7, 2-7, and 0-6 losses. Those are pretty bad. The Sea Dogs had a mercy put on them by Impact, it looks like. A 6-0, damage 6-0, Extreme. I think Damage is probably, out of all the teams, I think Damage probably didn't do the best. Yeah, Verbal 4 points scored by Extreme all weekend. Yeah, that's not so great. There's been times where, like, teams scored one. So, you know, four is pretty good. But Damage going 2-2 made it on at least. But, I mean, they did not probably do as well as they would like to do either. Who'd they lose to in the prelims? The Russians? And where's a 5-3 score at? Infamous, maybe? Yeah. Wow, Infamous did play well, right? Infamous played really well in the prelims, at least. Leverage at 2-2 in the prelims is also really good for them. That's cool. Beating Houston Heat. That's right, I remember that. Houston Heat. I think either Houston Heat or Distortion. The scores are kind of hard to tell by this. And yeah, they probably beat Heat and Distortion. Ha! Oh yeah, Ice is at the airport. I had a 3-hour delay. I left my house at 8 a.m. on Tuesday, and I got to the hotel at like 12:30 a.m. on Tuesday. So it took quite a while to get there. Oh, Collision 2-2 also, huh? Who'd Collision beat? Collision. Yeah, that's really good. I mean, I don't know. Collision? I mean, I shouldn't say I don't know. I mean, obviously, if you're, you know, one of the semi-pro teams coming in and you're able to go 2-2 in your first tournament, that's very good. But Collision do have quite a few players that have some experience, not quite a few in the pro division, but they have a lot of players that have a lot of experience. And some close wins. I mean, those wins are 5-4 and 4-3. So it looks like beating Aftershock and the Iron Man. Those are two good wins, though. I mean, obviously, Iron Man and Aftershock did not do very well, but they're, you know, historically one of the better, you know, middle-ish, higher-end teams. I would say higher than, like, the 17th place that Aftershock got there. Although I did just talk about how they're not done as well as they would expect, probably. The aroma in the stadium wasn't weed, it was sewer gas. That kind of matters where you're sitting, though, Lisa. I did notice that. If you were close to the bottom, it kind of smelled like, you know, not so great. One of the things that, like, we were worried about, too, is that I didn't take any good pictures from, like, down low at night. But, you know, one of the things that we were worried about was how well people could see. And I don't know, it wasn't bad. You know, I spent quite a bit of time watching the evening matches, the five-man stuff. I'll show you about where I was sitting. I think I was sitting right here. I kind of moved around a bit, but I think I was sitting right here. I watched a lot of games from like right there. Was over here for a minute, but kind of went over here because it was a little less commotion. And I could see, you know, it wasn't bad. You know, obviously you're not super close, so you're not seeing like, you know, like all the crazy snap battle real close, but it wasn't bad. You know, I don't think it was bad at all. Being like really high like this when you're up here just gives you a really good vantage down on the field. Like you can see all the bunkers, you can like see where everyone's at, and understanding paintball, you know, you see a guy come out and someone gets shot, and you know, we know that that guy probably shot him. But for sure, if you're not, you know, super versed in paintball, it might be a little hard to see. But I don't know. For me, it wasn't really, you know, that big a deal. If we could, like, one of the things that, like, I think about, like, tennis courts. I really like the way that tennis courts have their seating. Obviously, we would need, you know, way bigger for paintball, but, like, Wimbledon? Is that how you spell Wimbledon? What did I spell wrong? Oh, I'm a jackass. Yeah, I really like how, like, this seating is, like, right on top of people, right? Like, that is so cool. Like, if we could get seating just like that, like, not more than that, not much more, you know, like, 2,000 people or whatever. Not crazy. We don't need like an NFL stadium, you know? Like, if we could get seating like this, obviously the field would have to get quite a bit bigger, but, you know, it's a paintball field's quite a bit larger than a tennis court. So, you know, you're definitely going to have to get like, you know, something, but that's like perfect size. Like, not bigger than this. You can get even smaller, you know? But I really like this, like, size. You know, I'd like to watch some one-on-ones, watch like Oliver Lang's pro tour. No, that's HK. Oliver Lang's duel, the Hormesis duel would be kind of cool on that like size of a field. Cause you don't really need like, you know, you don't really need the, you know, freaking huge ass sidelines like this. Like the sidelines just massive, you know. It's not really required. We don't really need that. It was cool. You can see they did the cheerleaders. There were cheerleaders. Someone said something about cheerleaders earlier. And you can see there's some cheerleaders right there. Which reminds me of the old MPPL days. Which is kind of cool. Yeah. It was fun. Angels suck. Just use Angel Stadium? I thought they sucked, though. The Savannah Bananas are nuts, dude. It's crazy. I mean, the Savannah Bananas are, like, selling out, like, football stadiums. It's crazy. I would love to go for there to be a tournament in California. I personally think that the next one should be at Levi's Stadium. But I don't think we can do that. Let's go. Here's where I want it to be. The next one I want it to be at Levi Stadium. Right here in Santa Clara, California. Just down the road a piece. That's where I want it to be. Right there. Ooh, look at. See, that's the kind of like. That's the kind of shit they had on the ground before the tournament. Right? They like put this like board stuff down. And they're, like, elevated. It's like a platform, like, this high. And it kind of helps protect the grass, you know. But at the same time, the grass is kind of covered and, you know, not getting, like, freshness. This is what I want. I want to go there. And then you can go to South Bay Shores, Great America. You can go on some roller coasters. Unfortunately, though, there's nowhere to really have the actual tournament other than the stadium. Whatever this is, some sort of mine right there. Santa Clara. That's where I want the next one. Nate tons of BTS footage. I'm a huge BTS fan. The Colosseum. One of the things is we need like places that, like the Oakland Colosseum is abandoned. That's a good call, some brains. Let's look at that. Oh. Where are we at? The Colosseum. It's been so long. Where are we at here? Damn, I've forgotten. We're like right here, right? No. No, it's not this far. Okay, fine. Oh, it was further down. I didn't think it was that far. The Oakland Coliseum, where the A's used to play, now known as the Sacramento A's. And this is also not in use. This is where the Warriors used to play, and they built the new stadium. Right in here. Huh. Yeah, the problem is there's nowhere to have the actual tournament unless you lay, like, turf down or something, you know? It's also California and extraordinarily expensive, and no one's going to want to go. Yeah, California is so expensive. Gas is $6 a gallon now, so it's like, there's that. It's just never going to happen in California, unfortunately. It just won't happen. There was a back in the day when a long time ago, in like 1999 and 2000, I believe, the X Games were in San Francisco. And I don't remember which pier. I think it was on this pier. So this is where the X Games, I'm pretty sure the X Games were held on this pier. And at one point, there was talk about the MPPL having a tournament on that pier. So they were going to try to have a paintball tournament right here. But, you know, obviously that never happened. That would have been cool. We could have it over on freaking Angel Island. Not Angel Island, Treasure Island. They got their big fields right there. That would be cool. They're building like fucking skyscrapers over here now. Crazy ass shit. Look at these apartments they're building out there in the freaking ocean. Right, enough of that. Did he launch the dirt bike into the ocean? I went to the 2000 X Games there. I was at the 2000 ones. Birmingham Soccer Stadium held the Millennium Series. Did they? I don't remember. Was it inside? Will says, love the channel. Very cool. You're working with MLPB. I think MLP is Major League Pickleball or something weird. I appreciate it. For sure. I think it's great too. Yeah. Some brain says, why do you think I write code on the side for the cost of a Subaru Forester? $400,000 salary to pay a mortgage. Welcome to California. I live in Sacramento. Sacramento. I don't know. I only have cool to talk about, so we're just going to wing it until, like we've been doing this whole time, really. Tampa. It was cool. It really was, you know. For sure. Like, I totally get, like, some of the people, like, you know, like, people are like, oh, it looks so stupid with, like, the grass sucks. Like, that's a, I get you, but that's like a weak complaint. And then people complaining and not liking how the stadium just looks kind of wonky, how it's like, you know, 8% full. And like, I get it. I get that too. But like, I don't know. It was just really fun. And it was just a cool experience. I think that overall, everyone did a great job. You know, it looked really cool. There were banners up in places all over. And I don't know. It's just, I think everyone did a really good job. So shout out to Tom Cole and the whole Major League Paintball staff for just doing a good job. As far as I know, I mean, from my experience, you know. One thing that people were kind of weary about was the netting, right? I mean, we're so used to, like, paint flying over the net and stuff because, you know, it just hits a bunker and boom, ricochets out. And they did have guys walking around. So all day on Wednesday, for sure, there were guys walking around just looking for paint on the ground, and they had, like, washcloths, and they were, like, cleaning stuff up. So they were, like, constantly cleaning stuff. But it didn't really seem bad, you know. I didn't really, like, notice anything crazy. I saw a couple paintballs, but, you know, two or something like that. So I didn't really notice anything crazy. You know, I wasn't in the stands with everybody either, so it's possible something else happened. But not that I noticed, not that I heard of. But again, I didn't, you know, I don't know everything. That's for damn sure. Contrary to popular belief, didn't really notice much. Let's talk about Iran. What's the monkey, though, and the hammer for? I don't even know what to talk about with Iran. It's so fucking stupid. It's not like we're in, like, a normal war. That we're normally at war. I mean, America's always at war. We're like the perpetual war machine. So I don't even know. I don't know. You're going to get me talking about paintball stuff because I feel like I know about paintball, so. The video angles on Thursday were insane. What about them? What did you, Steve? Does Steve claim to be, like, straight edge? Oh, the X's are weird. What was so crazy about the angles? Just, like, it looked good, or were there, like, specific, like, did you notice they were, like, different angles than normal? Because one thing that kind of sucks about, like, you know, for the Major League Paintball guys, the webcast guys, is that Thursday, the only day they filmed inside the stadium was one day. And, yeah, they only filmed inside the stadium one day. So it's just kind of like, I don't want to say cobbled together, but it wasn't like as like, it wasn't their normal setup because, you know, they're filming one day in there, but they're filming 3 days outside. So they had much more like their traditional setup outside. On Thursday, it wasn't like their normal kind of setup. I don't know where I was going with that. I don't know. I was thinking about something. I don't know. Oh, camera angles. Yeah. So it might feel, I was curious what that would be like, right? Because they're setting the cameras up just for that one day and then taking everything back outside. And I don't know. It didn't look any different. Like if I wasn't there, I would have just thought it was just like normal, really. The only thing that was missing was the cable cam. And that's because the cable cam requires like a bunch of poles to be sunk into the ground because those poles have to be like insanely rigid so that the camera is not like, you know, flopping around and stuff. And they just can't mount poles into the ground like that inside the stadium. So there was no cable cam. And the drone, you can't use the drone because it's too close to the airport. So there was no drone. But that's like an FAA thing. So the closer they get, like, whatever. Verbal said, they moved the angle. They started behind the boxes, then switched it over to the snake side. I don't even remember. Like, again, I didn't even really watch a ton. So the cameras were they directly behind the start gates? I don't know. I'm trying to like remember in my head what it looked like. What is this? Theater Wolf? I think. Oh yeah. I can't. It's hard to see. The paywall is bonkers when you're trying to grow the sport. For sure. I mean, I think everyone knows that though. You know, it's not like they don't know. But it's just so much money, you know? There's just so much money to do a good job. I was going to try to say Pup Kiss. Definitely. Everyone likes the live stream. Huh. I'll have to look at the cameras. I didn't even really like think about it. Where they were at. So they were directly behind the start gate in the morning, and they moved them over a little bit toward the snake side. Huh. I like the cameras right behind the start gate. God, you're making me lose my train of thought, though. Yeah, obviously, you know, like, it would be better for... It would be free, right? I mean, it's... For sure. For sure. But... You know, most live sports aren't free, right? You know, like, you can't watch the NFL for free. I mean, you guys are going to say you can, but you really kind of can't. I mean, some of those over-the-air broadcasts are free, like if you have an antenna. But, you know, baseball's not free. You know, baseball, I have to pay. Opening night for baseball is on Amazon Prime, so I got to pay for an Amazon Prime subscription to watch it. You know, I got to pay for ESPN. I got to pay for cable. So it's kind of like, we do kind of pay in a way for a lot of the other sports. And it's just so much money to produce the thing. You know, I mean, they could make it cheaper, of course. They could make it free, for sure. It's not that it has to be paid, but, you know, you make a free version and you're going to have, like, you know, just cheap cameras. It's going to be, like, just, you know, $400 cameras. You're not going to get, like, high quality good footage. It's going to be, you know, less production, and it's just going to be cheaper, and it's not going to be as good, and it just won't be as fun to watch. So it's difficult, right? Do we make people pay and increase the production, or decrease the production and make it free? I think those are your options. And for me, you know, I would rather pay and for it to be good than it to be bad and free, you know. Or just not as good and free or whatever. Because there's a lot of pieces, you know? I mean, like, getting, like, five cameras on the field, you got to have five people doing that. You got to have two announcers. You got to have, like, all the replay guys. You got to, like, all these different people to make it work. It's just expensive. So, you know, you got to pay for it somehow. Yeah. Whatever the hell your name is, paintball is firmly in the beggars can't be choosers territory, for sure. And it's like that with a lot of sports. I mean, we're so, like, want paintball to be the NFL, and it's just not going to, right? It's just not going to happen. So look at all the other sports that are, like, you know, kind of, I don't want to say fledgling, but, you know, they're not huge mega international sports. There's freaking tons of them. I mean, there's like 150 sports that, like, you never think about that are in, like, the same kind of situation that we're in. Other niche sports. Like, bobsled. Or curling. Or skeet shooting. Or, you know, there's, like, all kinds of shit. There's just, like, endless sports that just, like, riding the line, getting along. ESPN needs to come back. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. As a viewer, a whole tournament can be too much to watch and keep up with. 100% Magnus. I think it's Magnus. Would be easier to catch up and be invested in a single match. Example, Dynasty vs. Paintball Fit. at one of their home turfs. I agree. I think they do too. I mean, I think that they know as well. I mean, I have a thing that I even set up that the restructuring and how to restructure the pro division. One of my ideas was have like, yeah, one of my ideas was to have three different conferences. You'd have a Western Conference, a Central Conference, and an Eastern Conference. And then within those conferences, obviously you'd have different teams, but you'd have two facilities. So like on the West Coast, you could have, here in Sacramento, you could have Capital Edge would be one of the facilities, and SC Village in Southern California would be one. And then rather than all the teams go to all the tournaments, so like rather than, you know, all 20 pro teams go to all five tournaments, you would go to, say you'd have 10 pro teams or something like that at one tournament, and then 10 different ones at the next one, and then 10 different ones at the next one or something like that, so that each pro team would go to like three major tournaments, but they also would have their like own individual kind of standalone days. So in between those tournaments, if you weren't going to this tournament, like the first tournament your team wasn't, you would have your local regional pro match. So for instance, San Diego Dynasty and the Ironmen would be in that West Coast one. So say they don't go to Tampa, they don't go to that first tournament, and instead they play like a head-to-head matchup at SC Village. So like Thursday night or Friday night, we'd get to watch Dynasty and the Ironmen play. Or maybe you could do two matches. You could do the Ironmen and Dynasty, and Infamous and Impact would all meet at SC Village, and those four teams would play like two sets. Like Dynasty and the Ironmen would play, and Infamous and Impact would play. So they'd still end up playing the same amount of games and matches all year long. But rather than play, you know, four prelim matches at every single tournament, you could play those four prelim matches at your like local regional kind of thing. I think that made sense. I was just like trying to remember everything. I actually have it all planned out and everything. I actually have like a schedule. Let's see. I'll show you guys. I didn't really think about showing everybody this. We've talked about this before, so this isn't like new craziness, but so there's where you'd be like your teams. And some of these teams aren't teams anymore because that's supposed to say Impact. Oh, God. Impacto. I guess all these teams are teams, right? No, AC Diesel. But see, right, you'd have, this would be like the first tournament, and you'd have West Coast team 1, 2, and 3, Central team 1, 2, and 3, Eastern 1, 2, and 3. And there's your different facilities, and these would be like the minor matchups. So like you'd have Capital Edge, and you'd have West Coast team 1 and 5 play, and then also 2 and 4. Team 3 gets a bye. Then like 2 weeks later or a week later, you get, you know, at SC Village, and yeah. This would help facilitate, like, you'd be watching paintball once a week, essentially. There'd be like a matchup once a week. You can see the Central stuff over here. So the 21st, actually these are like once a month, huh? But then once you incorporate the Central division, we'd be getting like paintball once a month. It's possible, it's doable, but I mean the problem with that is that it's just expensive, right? I think that for the teams it might not be that expensive, because like say you're, you know, Dynasty and it's at SC Village, you can just drive to the field, you know, to fly across the country. One of the hard parts, though, would just be, like, the webcast, right? I mean, we just talked about how expensive the webcast is. I mean, getting all the people there, all the equipment, there's all this setup time. There's just so many things going on that it's just expensive. And having a quality webcast like that at every single one of those, like, little regional things would just be exponentially more money, right? Rather than going to five tournaments, now you're going to like 50 or whatever, you know, you got to have like production crew and moving stuff around and all that stuff at a lot more events. So it might be like possible from the league point of view, but it would be really expensive to do like the live stream and webcasts, you know, once a week. Yeah. So I think that'd be cool, because I totally agree. I mean, it's like I said, the beginning of this thing, this is the first time I haven't watched like every single paintball game at a tournament, and it's insane. I mean, now they've added three man. It's like, dude, it's like 9 hours every day. It's like, who's going to watch that? You just can't. You know, who's going to watch 40 hours of paintball over 3 days or 4 days? It's like, what? No one can do that, so for sure. It's only if you, like, do this for a living or don't have a job, you're going to be able to watch it. Okay, I'm going to go eat. I don't know what I'm eating yet. I don't know. We'll figure it out. How about... I don't know. Would it be feasible to have the streaming equipment stationary at certain fields? No, probably not. No. Like, let's actually look at some of that stuff. Like... let's get this over here. Let's go to B&H Video. And let's just type in Blackmagic. So, like, this is kind of what, like, equipment they're using, right? Live production switchers. And a lot of it is made by Blackmagic, too. So they're using a lot of Blackmagic products. And let's try to find, like, close to the switcher they're using. It's similar to that. So, I mean, you can see, like, this, you know, stuff's just a lot of money, right? I mean... We're talking, like, just in, like, hardware equipment like this, like, thinking about encoders and switchers and hard drives, and you need a bunch of computers because you have to run, you know, all the editing software that's used for the replay, so you got to have, like, a really decent computer to be able to handle all the footage for replay, and there's just a lot of, like, equipment that's probably overlooked. And to have, like, a ton of that stuff, like, with my little system, you'd have six fields that would have to have, like, all of that equipment. And it's just really expensive, you know? So it would be difficult. A lot of this stuff, not a lot of it, but some of it they do rent as well. I mean, it makes a little bit more sense to rent that stuff as well. So it's possible they could rent it every time. But if you're renting... like that stuff once a month, it starts to get to the point where you're like, we should probably just buy this stuff, you know? And then you're like, well, we need $100,000. We need to spend, you know, $1 million to get the fields, all the equipment they need. And well, I don't got $1 million. So I don't know. Yeah. There's definitely a lot of stuff laying around. Some brain says, I know a couple studios with closets full of broadcast network gear, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of these big companies where it's like, oh, $1 million for production equipment? No, that's not that much, you know? I mean, to those companies, it's not, but here in paintball, it's kind of a lot of money. Yeah, it's expensive, the storage stuff. They also, Major League Paintball guys, they have cloud storage with Blackmagic, and they probably pay quite a bit for the cloud storage stuff, because doing all the videos everywhere, you know, they have a bunch of guys that are, like, you know, making highlights and doing clips and, like, you know, like I did, how I made the paintball fit video. They have to get a lot of that footage online so that, you know, people can pull the footage and, you know, work remotely. So they have like a ton of cloud storage, I imagine, which actually isn't that expensive from Blackmagic. It's not like crazy. They definitely have a lot of hard... There are definitely a lot of hard drives at the paintball field, though, too. Talk about Rally. I watched Rally the other day. I think I watched, like, Norway or something. Like, not the other day. It was, like, a month ago. All right, I'm getting out of here. I'm shutting the chat. I'll keep looking at it. gentlemen, thank you for coming by. Make sure to like the live stream on your way out. You know, if you're looking for paintball gear, go to BFP Gear. Use a link in the description or, you know, tell them Brad sent you. People are talking about Wheelball for Soup. I literally have no idea. I don't really keep track of all the drama and nonsense. And I don't really use Instagram and Facebook. So a lot of that stuff that happens, I don't know anything about. We'll talk about it. I'll talk about it right now. You got to tell me what's actually happening, though, because I don't actually know. You BFP gear. You know, maybe you want the best paintball mask on the market. The Carbon Zero is going to be the one. Now you got to tell me what happened with Wheelball for Soup. What happened with Soup? I know he didn't win, like, an award, but neither did I, so I don't know. I don't really care. Maybe next time we'll win. We'll try. We already talked about Jet that moved the camera. Jet. Why do I... Isn't that like a... I know... Oh, that's right! I forgot... The guy that mooned the camera, damn, I forgot all about that. Dang. That's so cool. I love it. Okay, I totally forgot about that. So, what was that? Oh, I forgot. Was that semi-pro field or was that... I know Jet. I know that name. Help me out in the chat. Come on. I know you guys are still here. I said I was leaving, but there's got to be somebody here still. Who knows? I totally forgot about that. All right, was it on the semi-pro field? Was it in the stadium? I don't know. I remember hearing about it at the field, but I just totally forgot. It was in the stands inside the stadium. Okay, there we go. So I assume when somebody cut, like they're showing the fans and stuff, someone turned around and mooned the camera. Okay, I'll find it. Not now. I'll find it later. That's hilarious. I know he got in trouble. Didn't he get, like, suspended or kicked out or something happened? That's so funny. His first pro event with Aftershock. Okay. I was like, man, I know that name recently. I was like, I know that name. I've heard... Talk about it. Dude, it's so funny. That's great. I don't know what Soup did. I don't know. That's something else. Damn, I wish I had saw the mooning. That'd have been great. Man, that's right. I can't remember who I was talking about with it, but it was funny. I was like, remember mooning people? Mooning people used to be a big deal. And then pantsing people. Remember pantsing people used to be a big deal? I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine kids are still pantsing each other, but that was such a big deal in like the 90s. I remember like going to gym class and it like being like a fear that everybody had. They'd get like pantsed in gym because, you know, you're wearing basketball shorts and you're like, oh my God. Damn. We should bring back pantsing. There's a picture of the mooning on Reddit. Oh, we'll look really fast. Hold on. That's so funny. Oh, here's another good one. Hold on, I'll pull him up. Damn. I'm not sure if this will work, though. Hold on. Because I'm not, like, I don't know if I have to log in to Reddit. And I'm not sure if I'm logged in on this thing. Oh, no, we're good. Here we go. Damn it, I can't see the buttons. Who is that? Does anyone know who that is? Alright, let's see if we can find the mooning one. I'd assumed it would have been really high. Oh, there he is. It's not too... I mean, this isn't the video, though. This is a screenshot. Oh, we gotta be 18. Oh, man. Oh, no, we're good. That's funny. Yeah, you can't do that. It's pretty funny, though. I guarantee he got dared to do it. Someone had to have been dared him to do it. That's all right. I like it. I'm okay with it. I get it. You're not supposed to do it, but, you know, whatever. I think it's funny. You know, I think about, like, other things, and I'm okay with, like, the craziness. I'm good with it. Like, guys, goof off, have fun, you know. I'm okay with us being, like, inappropriate. I'm okay with, like, riding the edge. I'm okay with us being, like, wild and, like, up to no good. I think about, like, skateboarding and snowboarding, and those guys are up to no good, and I relate to those guys, and I think it's fun that people are having fun, and I don't know, just having fun. There was a streaker at the Super Bowl? Oh yeah, there was a streaker. I saw that guy. I thought they were going to say there was a streaker this at the paintball tournament. I was like, yes. So I don't mind the, like, riffraff, let's be weird, like, I don't know. But I, you know, I don't know. There's obviously, like, a line we maybe shouldn't cross, but mooning's not that bad. I don't know. Okay. I'm going now. Damn. I want to pants some people. I'm going to try to pants some people at the paintball field, I think. Yeah, old soul. That's the guy who also bet there would be a streaker, so he just went and streaked. Now you can, like, manipulate the markets so much. Okay. I appreciate it, guys. You know, come back next Monday. We'll be here again in 7 days. And, I don't know. Just enjoy the week. You know, maybe go watch some paintball. Think about something cool you can ask me in the chat next week. And in the meantime, we'll see you later.